And I'm going to refer you to Acts chapter 4, verse 32. There's a few words here in this passage that really jumped out at me, even just this morning as I was reading it. The Lord just ministered to your heart, anybody this morning, just specifically, just really touch your heart, minister, maybe set you free in some areas. Before I go into that, I just want to encourage you to walk it out. You know, Jesus gave a parable of four soils. Beside the road, the rocky places, among thorns, and then also good soil of a good heart. And when God, the word of God goes forth, Satan comes immediately to try to steal what God has given or what he's deposited. And you have to hold on to it. You have to walk it out because, you know, later on this afternoon or tomorrow morning when you get up, it doesn't feel the same. You don't sense the same thing, but God's word never fails. He's always true. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we have to walk those things out that God has given us. We have to battle in the mind and taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So I just want to encourage you to do that and not just to receive, because everything God gives, you've got to receive it. It has to be received. He doesn't just cram it down your throat. He just doesn't shove it on you. He presents it, gives it as a gift, and that gift needs to be received and then implemented into our lives and walked out. Verse 32 of Acts 4. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. When you read specifically in the first few chapters of Acts, you see this repeated of one mind, of one heart, in unity, sharing things. All of the believers had everything in common. You see a great message there in different words of unity, of coming together. And here in this verse, it talks about how the congregation of those who believed, they had one heart and one soul. I mean, that's a miracle in itself. Isn't it? I mean, to get two people in agreement and unity, but to have the whole congregation of one heart and soul, and look what happened, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. Now, I just want to say this about that. This is not a command from God in how we are to live. This is what they did at that time. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It doesn't just say power. It says great power. They were one heart and soul. They began meeting needs of one another and the apostles with great power were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And look at the next words. And abundant grace was upon a couple of them. No, it says abundant grace was on all of them. All of them had an abundant amount of grace. What's the grace of God? It's his favor. His acceptance. It's his ability. It's his power that he gives us to live a holy life. It's what he gives us that to help us to be able to do what we cannot do on our own. An abundant amount of grace, and we've talked about that for this year, that an abundant amount of grace would be available to the people of God. Verse 34, there wasn't a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, which was interesting since he was a Levite, and Levites weren't supposed to own land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now notice that stay with verse 32 and 34. They were of one heart and soul, great power, and an abundant amount of grace was on all of them. And then it goes right into talking about how they were selling, bringing the proceeds to the apostles' feet, distributing to the needy. And we'll pick up with chapter 5, verse 1. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself. With his wife's full knowledge and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? In other words, it was yours. You didn't have to sell it. It was yours to do with whatever you wanted to do with it. And after it was sold, was it still not under your control? Even after you sold it and received the proceeds, you could have done anything you wanted with that money. This was not a command that you had to sell your property and bring finances in. And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? How did Peter even know this? By the Holy Spirit. And then he says this, you have not lied to men, but to God. What did Ananias and Sapphira do? They were lying. They said, hey, we sold it for this amount, so we're going to give it. So in other words, their perception, they wanted other people to look at them as they were giving all, but only giving a part. Concerned about how other people are viewing us. In public, we want to look like we got it all together. We're giving it all. We're doing it all. When it would have been perfectly fine for them to come and say, hey, we sold it for $100,000, but we're just going to give you $50,000. And be honest. Because it wasn't a command that they had to give it all. Notice this story is in the New Testament. Under the age of grace. And the Bible's very plain about there was an abundant amount of grace on all of them. Verse 4 again. While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you've conceived this deed in your heart? You've not lied to God, to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and died. For lying. An abundant amount of grace. Why wasn't that grace the umbrella to keep them from receiving judgment for their sin? Because that's not what grace is for. Grace empowers us to be able to live a holy life. Because we cannot live it on our own and in our own strength. An abundant amount of grace was available and was there. And they didn't tap into it and chose to lie and to sin to bring deception into the community. And you know the rest of the story. Sapphira came in 3 hours later and she too lied and died. Amazing. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, after we've been washed by the blood of Christ, we've been forgiven, but we go on sinning willfully, there's no more sacrifice for sin. We're rejecting the blood of Christ and his sacrifice. We're trampling underfoot what he did for us. We're living a lie. We're living in deception, thinking that because of the grace or whatever term you might use, God understands that it's okay. See, God calls us to a life of holiness, but he doesn't expect us to live it on our own. He gives us the grace, his empowerment, to be able to live that holy life. And thank God, because we miss it. We all sin in many different ways. all day long. But thank God we have the gift of repentance that we can come to him and say, God, please forgive me, and we can be restored and washed afresh and renewed. But what if we don't repent? When that abundant amount of grace is available, I want to encourage all of us, myself included, to repent, to turn from our sin. So times of refreshing can come. That God would restore us and renew us. I believe God so desires for his presence to be tangible and manifest in our presence. But what if it was like it was then? They died because they lied. I mean, this is New Testament. This is not Old Testament. Same God, yesterday, today, and forever. You know, it's the same God we serve in the Old Testament and the New Testament. He didn't change gods. He's the same God. Amen. Bless you, Lord. God, thank you so much for forgiveness. Really quick, I have a few announcements. We had mentioned about our garage sale that we raised $2,400. That's been revised down. It was $2,000 after it was recounted. And so just wanted to let you know about that. There will be $1,000 we'll give to another congregation, and then the other $1,000 goes into an outreach account. What? What's that? We're repenting of the lie. Is that what you mean? Well, we said I had mentioned 24, but it wasn't. Next Sunday, we will not be here again. We'll be at the lake, Blue Springs Lake. There's maps out there. And please, there is sign-up sheets for food. Please, if you have not already, sign up to bring some food that we're still needing. And then also the fireworks tent, Yoo-hoo, is coming upon us in a few weeks. Good news, though, it'll be a one-week tent this year instead of like 3 months long that was normal or whatever. But we'll begin having sign-up sheets for that as well for times to work it. And that'll begin Wednesday, June 27th, and go until Wednesday, July 4th, of course. And then also, I just want to remind everybody, we have a Facebook page for our congregation, and we put announcements on there. There's things to encourage you. There's also just news events and different things we try to put on there. The Global Day of Prayer photos that we had are on there as well. And so I just, if you have or you're on Facebook or you have a computer or whatever or a Facebook account, please go to that and just keep checking it, because like I said, even for announcements, if it's nothing else, just so you're aware of what's going on. Praise the Lord. Well, Karen's going to come and give us a word from the Lord. Would you welcome her? With a hand clap, a dance, a spin around. You know, stand and spin around in circles or.
Oh, okay.
Did you want to use it in a stance?
Yeah, that